Let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Whenever you want to go forward, in fact, what is the Hebrew word for forward? Kadima. When you want to make kadima the direction you're going in, it is important to remember how God has led you so far and to pay attention to how God got you from where you used to be to where you are. We're reading this week in Parshat Maaseh, the last portion of the book of Numbers, and it talks about the stages of the journey that the children of Israel made as they went from Egypt into the promised land. It's a time of preparation. We're going to look at only two verses. In Numbers 33, it starts with this. These are the stages of the journey of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Verse 2, now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. What did he do? He wrote them down. He paid attention. He knew. He wrote them down as a reference, and he wrote them down in order to pass on the remembrance of them. And these are the journeys according to their starting points. And then it describes all the journeys. Now, there is something that is important for you. You need to remember your journey. And you need to remember it well, because it is your journey that's got you from wherever you were to wherever you are right now. You may be thinking about your future. That's great. But remember the past with clarity. Don't be stuck in the past. Don't be trapped in the past. But don't forget the past. And I say that under one assumption, and that is that as of right now, you're wanting to go forward with God. Because if you are saying, God, I'm a Kadima woman, I'm a Kadima man, I want to move forward with you, then what that means is everything that's happened in your life so far has been preparation for what you're going to do in the future. God has used all of that to get you here. Very few of us were born in Jacksonville. We're not here just because our parents are here. God had to get us here. And some of us didn't come easily. Some of us came reluctantly. Some of us came, we thought, accidentally. But God, who is the master of our past, our present, and our future, had his hand on us to get us here. And if you are in the right city, in the right place, you should give thanks to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here. Now, if you're not in the right place, you should move. I want to encourage you to celebrate the ways that God has worked in your life by taking notice of the children of Israel and their experience. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, but they remember all the stages. How did Israel decide it was time to get up and move? Who remembers? Just say it. The cloud. What cloud? The cloud of the presence of God, right? They kept their eyes on the Lord, who manifest his presence with them, because God was leading them, he was with them. And when God moved, Israel moved. But what if they liked the place they were in and the cloud was moving? What did they do? They moved. What if they didn't like it? They moved. What if they'd been there a long time and it seemed like this is a forever kind of place? They moved. What if they just got there? They moved. You see, they were putting into practice the most basic foundational aspect of life with God, and that is being led by God. When we say the Lord is the Lord, we're not making a theological statement. We're saying he's boss. And I serve him. When he's boss, he gets to decide things we used to decide. Repentance is in large part coming to terms with who's the boss and saying, I used to make all these decisions by myself, and I did things that were not pleasing to God or perhaps just ignored the will of God, but I've decided not to live like that now. I want to find out what's pleasing to God, and I want to live in a way that I'm obeying the direction that he's giving me. So when he says go, we say okay. The fact is, though, each one of us has had a time when the Lord says now, and we say but. Have you ever said but to the Lord? But now's not a good time. But I'm really happy here. But I don't have the resources. But what will my family say? But where will I get a job? And I've said all those things to the Lord. And if I were just to characterize his general response, it's get off your butts. And stop using butts as the resistance point. Stop saying yes but to the Lord. And start saying yes. You see, faith comes to you when you hear the word of the Lord and you start acting on it. Now, let me give you just a couple of examples that are recent and memorable for me. In preparation for the Korshan family moving here, when they came in November to explore the possibility, and we reached a decision that, yes, it's a good idea, they then went with Sandy and me, and we looked at apartments and found a nice apartment that they expected to be able to move into, a good location, good size, etc. And so we were excited, okay, we know that when they come, we just have to go to that apartment complex and fill out papers, and the next available unit will be theirs. That felt good. A couple of weeks ago, Sandy and I were meeting with someone. We were telling them about this plan, and we found out that that apartment complex has had terrible bed bugs. Yeah, ooh. And so I had mixed reactions. One was, ooh, and the other one was, oh no, what are we going to do? Because that was our plan. Have you ever made a plan and the plan needs to be the plan? And it doesn't matter if the circumstances change, you're committed to the plan, even if now it's a bad plan because the circumstances have changed, but it is your plan. I call that being in love with your plans. And I say, don't fall in love with your plans. And so I remember having this feeling, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, we realized we had to find another place, somewhere else. And we were looking around. Jared was trying to find houses that might be available. And as soon as good ones became available, they were rented before we could even explore or apply for them. It was frustrating. The other day, was it Wednesday, Sandy? We were driving around.
Well, I've seen the sign when the Valenskis were here, so Thursday, you and I were.
So Sandy and I were driving around in an area that we thought was good, and there was a sign for a house for rent at a corner in an area where we thought this is a great location. And I saw the sign, and you know, I'm sort of fixated on what I'm doing. And Sandy said, turn around. I said, let me go and we'll look online. We'll look at Zillow, my preferred, you know, internet app for this. And she said, we're right here. And I said, you're right. So we turned around and we went down this street. We found the house. It was nice. Right location, good condition, right price, etc. And so we took a few pictures, sent them to Jared, and within a few minutes, Jared's in contact with the owner of the house. And then he goes over there, and from there he texts, is it okay if I come and see you now and talk about the house? And this is all happening faster than we can imagine. He comes over, he shows us more pictures, he tells us about the situation there, and says, I think this could be it. And so we agree to explore it, and we end up concluding this is the place and communicate that with Rabbi Yuri and Ina, and they agree, and so we're in the middle of processing all of that. But here's an interesting detail. That morning, Amber, Jared's wife, wakes up and says to Jared, I had a dream that you told me that today you found a house for the Corshans. Okay, now I didn't know that, but we're putting it all together. Do you see how many different people had a little piece in this? Amber got something before anybody took action that provoked Jared to be alert and ready to act even more quickly than he might otherwise. Sandy and I are driving around together because we think now we really need to focus on it. But we see something, I'm dismissive, Sandy's attentive. Guys, have you ever been in that situation? And we go and we check it out. We communicate to Jared. He goes, he acts. Everything happens. It took four of us. I thought, no wonder it takes Almighty God to rule over us. You know, if he could found one person who could have done it all, but it took four of us. No, it was I think we learned something that each of us has a part to play, and we need to do our part in a timely way, but do it together in concert. And so as a result of all of that, we're moving forward, and I'm rejoicing because what seemed like bad news that destroyed our plan actually turned into good news. And now I can say, thank the Lord we didn't put him in that apartment and they had bed bugs. We moved into a different direction. So that's an example of paying attention. How does God get you from one place to another? And that excited me. And then I want to tell you about, this will take more than the 10 minutes I said. This whole thing could go a total of 15 minutes. Not 15 minutes more, but just a few minutes. When the Valenskys were with us on the Saturday night they were here, we had a time of prayer with the elders and some others. And during that time of prayer, Rick Gray, one of the elders, was just remembering how God had worked back in March when the crisis in Ukraine was just beginning. And he recalled it and how his own faith was built up by what happened. And so we were celebrating together with the Valenskys, because here's the story. Sandy and I understood that we needed to be able to stand in solidarity with some of the leaders of the Messianic movement in Ukraine and provide financial support as their economy was going into a collapse for a lot of reasons, and their local national currency had lost much of its value, and it was heading precipitously down. We knew we needed to get some dollars to them that could stabilize them in difficult times. And yet it was hard to do that, but through the generosity and participation of a number of people, we were able to raise the support to send dollars to them. But there was a problem. Victor was in Crimea, and Crimea was being taken over by the Russians at the time. And the banks were in turmoil. And so we had money that we wanted to get to him, and I was texting back and forth with him. And I said, where do we send the money? Can we send it to you in Yevpatoria? And he says, I don't know. I'll get right back to you. He calls all the banks in Yevpatoria. They have no money. They are being shut down. And so he finds a bank 2 hours away in another city that might have dollars. Do you get that? Okay, so he writes and he says, there's a bank that may have money, and he gives me the name of the city. I'm not going to tell you. And he says, I can go there. And in my cautious way, I said, you know, why don't you wait until we can confirm that we can get it to you there before you even leave? And he writes back immediately, thank the Lord for texting. I remember when our dream was that every congregation in Ukraine would have a fax machine. So he texts back and he says, it would not be a tragedy if I get to that place and there's not money. However, there is no money here. So what he was saying is, it will be much harder to do nothing and to end up with no dollars than it would be to risk going and possibly be successful. So Rick, Gray, and I were together that day when we were texting back and forth, and I'm reading him these texts, and I get this one, and I said, Rick, he's leaving. He's leaving now. In 2 hours, he's going to be there, and that placed him near the end of the business day, his time. So he's going to arrive just before the banks close, and I said to Rick, I have to succeed. I have to get this there. So I get in my car and I start praying, Lord, where do I go? And I thought, well, I'll go to this bank. No, don't go there. Go to another bank. So I went there, and then I found out that that bank could not transfer the money quick enough. So I had to use Western Union, not my favorite way of transferring money internationally. But I went to a place where I could transfer it, and I asked them, how long will it take? And they said, as soon as you complete it, it will take less than 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's right, sure. Nothing takes less than 5 minutes when it comes to money. Well, through that process of filling out all the papers, I'm watching the time, and I'm seeing it's now 4:45 his time. And at 5, the banks are closed. And I still don't know if he's going to be able to get money, but I decide I'm sending it anyway, and he'll just have to do his best. And so I send it, I text him, it's gone. You know, like, see what you can do. And a few minutes before the banks close, he writes me, he says, I got it. And then he said, it's a small miracle, I'll tell you about it. Okay, so when somebody says that, you don't want to wait till the next day. So after everything settled down, I said, so what's the small miracle? He said, well, one, I drove 2 hours and I didn't know for sure were they really going to have money. But I get to the bank and here's the story. Someone earlier in the week had ordered dollars to be picked up that afternoon, but they didn't come. The person didn't come who ordered them. And the bank found out the person wasn't going to come. Now they've got all this money that they want to, if you will, sell. Because banks don't give money. And Victor calls up and says, do you have dollars? And they say, maybe. And he says, I'm coming. And they say, okay. And he gets there, it all happens, and he gets the money. You see, the Lord was at work and used those people who thought they needed money but didn't, and the bank. The Lord used Victor's perseverance and his trust in God and his sense that the Lord was leading him. He used all the people who contributed. He used me and my perseverance. And I remember saying to Rick, this is what our life was like every day when we lived overseas. Every day required the sense, what do I need to do? How can I get it done? We've got to be able to do it. And it was so joyful to see the Lord at work. Now, here's the interesting thing. The next day, all the banks were closed. The next day, no money in Crimea was being distributed. This was the moment he could get money. And to this day, we have not been able to send another dime into Crimea. We have to go another way to get money to them because the banks are not functioning in normal ways. It encouraged me to think about that because there are times when you wonder, how am I going to get through this? And I can tell you, God seems to delight in putting us in situations that are just beyond ourselves. Where you say, you know, if it were a little bit easier, I could do it on my own. But in this situation, I can't do it. It's like this. We're in the water, and it's just above our nose. And that's all it takes to drown, right? You don't need to be under 10 feet of water to drown. You just have to be underwater to drown. But the Lord knows how to lift us up out of that. And there are times, I think, where he does his greatest work when we are in situations that need him and we press into him. And I think there are certain blessings that he does not release until we recognize that and we press in. Here's the good news. He's ready. He's waiting. He wants to work. He sends advance word, do this. He gives a hint. He gives a rumor. There may be money 2 hours away. And so what do? Maybe he's not good enough. Now you say, from the Lord, maybe, could be, certainly. I'm trying because I'm trusting in God. And every time you move and you're being led by the Lord, you should be moving in your faith in him, not your faith in yourself. Your confidence and your trust that as you try to obey him, as you try to obey his leadership, not getting him to do what you want, but you doing what he wants, that he will come through for you. It should be every day. Now, I say this knowing this is not spooky. It's not like eerie supernatural. This is normal supernatural life with God, where we're led by the Lord. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and he guides us and he shows us what to do. In these situations, I learned something. Now means now. Now doesn't mean later. Now doesn't mean what's your opinion. If the Holy Spirit says now, he's not consulting, he's directing. It's not a time to have a long discussion. Well, Lord, I'd like to research this. Have you thought about what could go wrong? He says now. Now means now. I want to encourage you, pay attention to the Lord when he's saying now. And when your spirit resonates that it's now, be strong. Be of good courage. And remember the words of James in chapter 5, verse 16. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And it says this, the fervent prayer, the earnest prayer. The language actually is the energetic or the active prayer. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you work yourself up? No, it means you're ready to act on God's answer. You pray because God's showing you pray in this way. And he answers, and when he answers, you go forward with him. Today is a day of stages, and I want to encourage you with this. You can be led by the Holy Spirit. Look back and see what God has done. Look ahead and see what he wants to do, and look up, and things will go well with you. Let's pray. Boy, that was a lot more time than I said. Sorry. Lord, I thank you that you're leading us. And I thank you that you're equipping us. And I thank you for this appointed time that you've called us into. We want to be alert. We want to be ready. And we want to be responsive, saying yes to you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Chazak. Chazak. Vanit chazak. Be strong. Be strong. And let us strengthen one another. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom.